Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan,
what it do?
We got one of my favorite sponsors of all time.
All right.
Okay, have you heard of Athletic Greens?
No, but you and Joe have been telling me about it because you both use it. I'm still waiting to get mine.
Yeah, it's got less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, and it supports mental clarity and alertness. Basically, I take a lot of vitamins. I've got like six, seven, you know, things of vitamins, everything. I had to, take the cap off, to take them all. I take six or seven at a time, but not anymore. With Athletic Greens, you just take a packet or a scoop. It comes in packets or scoops. Put a scoop in the water, about 8 to 12 ounces of water, and you take it down. It tastes delicious. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself, and you're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by athletes. So basically, with one scoop of this, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Conan. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Conan, athleticgreens.com/KONAN, to take advantage and ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Okay, what do you take it for exactly, Joe? Because I know you like it.
It's vitamins.
Yeah, it's vitamins. I like it a lot because of the taste. I take mine in the morning, and actually what it did was, you know, I was taking a multivitamin, I was taking a probiotic for my gut, I was taking something for energy, something for sleep, whatever. That can cost you hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month to keep taking all these things. Like Disco said, he takes six different things, right? With Athletic Greens, you use your one scoop in the morning, and you're good. You can cancel out all these millions of vitamins and spending hundreds and all that. You know, some people don't like to take big, thick vitamins and pills and all that. This is a drink. It's delicious, and it takes care of everything.
Yeah, basically, Conan, it's just the simplicity of taking a multivitamin and a probiotic. Just put it in the thing, it tastes good. Just drink it down right before you. I do it right before my first meal of the day. And it's great. It's perfect. It's so much more convenient.
So you just take it once a day?
Just once a day. That's all you need right before your first meal.
Yep, one scoop and water. Boom.
Yeah, and I was reading right here. It says that you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins.
And also, you know, our viewers, like we promote a lot of products on the show, and our listeners probably have different types of diets. And it's whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It works for everything.
So take care of your digestive system, your immune system, your vitamins, your minerals, all in one powder, good-tasting form. Joe and Disco have been using it. I will be using it soon and giving you my reaction on it. But if they're putting it over, obviously it's good. Check it out.
It's athleticgreens.com/KONAN.
All right. As usual, we always looking out for your wellness and your lifestyle and how you can stay healthier. And here's another example. Athleticgreens.com. Boom.
All right, next one's from your boy, our favorite mailbag contributor, Mike Durbin.
Wait, you didn't kind of answer the question, though. Do you think that makes Tony look bad that Punk's kind of pulling his strings, if that's the insinuation?
Well, how do you know, Eddie? He is.
Well, that's what the guy's insinuating, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not working on a supposition.
It's a Sean Ross Sapp report, okay? So I'm not, like, going to treat that as anything factual, okay. Right?
Isn't that the guy that had the whole MJF thing wrong and then got mad at you about it?
Right, right.
Okay.
Next is from Mike Durbin, the subject is Elvis movie. Glenn, have you seen the Elvis movie yet? There are lots of Las Vegas references and scenes in the movie. Oh, go figure, Durbin.
Wow.
Elvis was like a what do you want to call it? Residency in Vegas for like how many years? You know, it was like, okay. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm just going to pick apart Durbin's email as sentence by sentence here as we're going along because, like, I will enjoy watching a movie that has Vegas references because I live in Vegas. Like, I couldn't care less, to be honest with you. Conan, what is your favorite era of Elvis? 50s Elvis? 60s shitty movies Elvis? 68 comeback special Elvis? Early 70s peak live performance Elvis? Or fat and bloated, pilled up 73-77 Elvis? So Mike Durbin, he says, P.S. keep the great work in K100 talks.
Yeah, bro, those are too many to remember, like, you know.
Like he's a complete Elvis Mark, and he thinks that you're an Elvis Mark. Like, you remember every era of his.
I remember every era, but I mean, the guy was fucking cool all the way through. I mean,
even when he was fat.
Well, he was, even if he was fat, that doesn't make him uncool. The guy was still even fat. He was cooler than most motherfuckers, you know.
Right.
You know, he was Elvis, bro. The guy had a magnetism that very few people will ever even understand. You know,
like there's some iconic names in the history of the world,
right?
That from our era, you know, like just like when you just say like Elvis, right. Ronaldo.
Bro, to me, there was nothing
Trump,
cooler
Jordan.
Than
yeah,
Elvis
right, yeah.
with the fucking mutton chops and the cool '70s oversized Elton John glasses and the fucking cape with all the glitter and the American red, white, and blue cape scene, glory, glory, hallelujah, and fucking with a choir behind him with that booming fucking voice and that smile. The guy just had magnetism, you know. He had it. That's all there is to it.
All right, this next one is very this is a very interesting email. And Joe, you're going to have to be honest here, okay? Next one's from Vinny Paz, our boy.
That is him, yeah.
Subject is Mrs. Inferno, okay? Mrs. Gilbernetti made two appearances in last week's episode. More Mrs. Inferno, less JoJo the, and he puts this in capital letters, the Rat Fink. Thanks in advance, Vinny Paz, Philly, PA. Vinny, we would definitely have Mrs. Gilbernetti on again, interrupting our podcast when I go back to Atlanta. Okay, like she did last week. Remember she interrupted the podcast?
Right. And the time before that with the fantasy football.
Yeah.
Right. Why is he referring to you as the Rat Fink? JoJo, something's going on there.
Yeah, he's been upset with me since we were both at a show at the 2300 Arena. I can't remember if it was Impact or MLW or what. And I thought I recognized him, but I wasn't sure. Like, we had talked a little bit about the show, but I didn't really know him like that yet. And we were both standing at opposite ends of the bar. So I told him later, I thought I saw you, and he's mad at me because I didn't come up to him and say what's up or whatever. Like I big-timed him. But I just wasn't sure it was him. So
then why would you not just walk up and say, hey, are you Vinny Paz?
I don't
know. What was so difficult about that?
I'm a strange guy. I don't know.
No, you're a Rat Fink. Next is from...
Didn't he send you a shirt or something?
Yeah, he sent us some good merch.
Shirts, bro, you got some CDs balls on you.
I wasn't sure.
You big league the fucking guy in a bar?
He's got that album, Jedi Mind Tricks. That's one of my favorite hoodies because, like, you can wear... It's a really good cold weather hoodie.
Yeah, it's the group he was in. Or is in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he sends us all this swag, and you fucking big league him. You're too much.
Yeah. What a
I didn't mean to do it.
Next is from EL, and the subject is WWE Hall of Fame. What's up, fellas? Day one listener here. Love that you guys don't stay away from any topic and are unfiltered. My question is for Conan. Would you ever accept an invitation for WWE to be inducted into their Hall of Fame? You're a legend in the business, and often they do recognize legends who made their names elsewhere. Keep up the great content, and Disco is so lucky to have a legend like you put him on and be somewhat relevant these days.
Okay, I've answered.
Wait, time out. Do you know who this is from?
No.
This is much respect. This is from Habib from the car wash. Remember this guy?
Oh, tremendous name.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know, but that's a great name, Habib from the car wash.
Yeah, he was a good viral indie wrestler for a while. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Well, we're going to suspend him from right. The mailbag this for a week because he just make me somewhat relevant these days. That's a cheap shot. So Habib from the car wash is suspended. Ouch. Mark that down, Joe, please.
Yep.
But all that's untrue. If anything, I've made Conan. I've added credibility to his name by
highly doubt that.
With him. Yes. Next is from Anthony Hunt, and the subject is two big booking concerns. K100. Greetings, crew. Big fan of the show. I have two big questions. Did WWE back themselves into a corner by putting both belts on Reigns? Other question, should Kingston go heel and join Jericho?
No.
I think he'd make a good heel. Love to hear your thoughts. Mad props to Disco and Conan. Listening to you, I learned more about the business. Thanks. Be safe. You can answer this first, Conan.
What was the question?
Did WWE back themselves into a corner putting both belts on Reigns?
No.
Second, should Kingston go heel and join Jericho?
No.
Okay. I would say no on the first one because, like, there were eras of wrestling that this guy was not part of. Bro, Hogan was champion forever. You know, Bob Backlund was champion forever. Bruno was champion for years. You know, like we're talking about like Roman's coming up on 600 and something days or whatever. You know, it's like Hogan was champion for like 50. Could Joe look that up?
It was five. It was 4 years for the first title reign.
So that's almost 1,500 days.
Yeah. And then a few more times he had it for like a year here, year there, whatever.
Right. Joe, look that up while we're doing
Bruno
this.
Was eight.
Bruno probably had it like 9 years. Bruno was, that's way more.
Bruno was eight years the first time.
So that's 2,400 plus 65 times 8 is 240 plus 40, 280.
And I think Backlund was six.
So it's like...
So, five or six was Backlund.
It's like almost like 2,800 days. You can just imagine that, right? Like nobody beat this guy. Just so imagine the pop when Ivan Koloff did beat him. How shocked everybody was.
That's what they always say. They always say the building was like a hush, you know? Yeah. Just for an update, since you wanted to know, Habib from the car wash, according to Cage Match, has not wrestled since October 2020.
Good. next is from Anthony Hunt. We just answered this one. This one is from Al Bundy. It's got a picture of me here. It's got a meme. You want to pull up the meme, Joe? I can't see what it says.
Yep.
The subject is a Disco list. Long-time listener, four-time question asker, keeping it short and sweet. Disco, should you put your mom on the Disco list for walking in your room and interrupting the podcast? I don't know. That's a good question, but since you brought it up, no. I'll ask Conan, do you think she should be put on the Disco list?
No.
Because I won't take – we don't take any – was suggestions from fans, but I'll take a suggestion from Conan.
She was just trying to, like most people, listening on the news, gossip. You know, she likes to be in on everything too. You know,
right. Next is
we are a source of news for many people and a credible one at that.
What did you think of this? What did you think of this picture? Di, it's a jammy pulled up.
Yeah, it's a cheap shot. Next is from Beto Garcia, and the subject is roundtable. Good morning, players. It's your homeboy of the show from the 415. It's a two-parter about the above-mentioned subject. Would you players ever do a K100 Talks roundtable? Would you players ever do an exclusive roundtable with all the who've been banned? Stay righteous, mentally, and physically healthy. We could absolutely do a K100 Talks roundtable because we have our listener. Bro, our roundtables are open for patrons. They're definitely open for people to suggest roundtables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if people want to talk a subject like a K100 Talks type, so they're like when we do the live mailbags now, we bring on four or five patrons. They can ask us anything they want. They can ask us questions from like that would be subjects for K100 Talks. Absolutely, we wouldn't shy away from that. Why would we?
Beto, look back on Patreon because one of the first listener roundtables we did, I remember, had Mike Holder, and Bam from Baltimore and somebody else. And the whole roundtable was kind of about race relations, police brutality, stuff like that. So that's like a K-100 talk. So I'll put it up again.
Right. I found, you know, this is a thing too, because I was arguing with somebody at work the other day. This kid that was talking about like systemic racism and stuff, and I was just saying this, like, in the year 2022, you know, like, you know, we progress enough with systemic racism that in income and education, okay, Nigerian immigrants, Indians, and Asians all perform better than white people in income and income level and education. And it's like, I would just sit there and say, it's like, you can still say, we still got some ways to go, like in the social sphere. But when it comes to education and stuff, it's like, you're very hard pressed for me to say that there's systemic racism in education. If those ethnic groups are performing far better than whites, because if it was systemic racism and white supremacy, the white people would consistently be scoring higher than others in any type of structure that you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Would you agree with that, Conan?
I really didn't hear the whole things, but I guess
I'll just say. But basically, here's my point. Okay, like in the year 2022, when you talk about systemic racism, it doesn't have as much, you know, oomph to it as it did say back in the 90s. If we were discussing this, right. Because in 2022, in education, you know, like they're doing critical race theory and stuff, and all these race related stuff and everything, because they think that there's still systemic racism in education. But I'd say, well, wait a second, it's like Indians, Asians, and Nigerians all score higher than white people. And like the whole premise of systemic racism and white supremacy is that the system is set up for the white people it's rigged for them to excel, but they're not excelling anymore. They're like ranked in like fourth or fifth ranked. And I'm like, it's like when they're saying that to me, and like, you're saying like white supremacy, or I'm like looking at the totals. I'm going like, well, the whites aren't even at the top of the list anymore. They're not even close, you know? So that's my point. In 2022, we have to admit that there's been a lot of progress. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So the next one is from William Thomas, and the subject is changes in AEW. Hello, Conan and Disco. I know you two are critical and have your expert opinions on AEW. So my question is, what would you do if you were the promoters and bookers? I mean, bro, can you be a little bit more specific? Again, the first thing I would do is get rid of people that you don't need. So fire a lot of guys that you're paying that you don't need would be the first thing. And I'd take your core guys, put them on the board, write it, and just start integrating all your over guys and start integrating them in storylines with weekly compelling television. That's what I would do. What would you do, Conan?
I think we go over this almost every single week.
Right.
So, you know, just listen to the show. We always give
listen to the review.
Right.
Listen to the review of AEW.
Would you like me to start not passing emails through if I feel like they've been repetitive?
No, because we can bury them. Right. Even a bad email can be entertaining to read if the guy's a moron.
Like the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame one, Conan, I saw, and I was like, he's answered us 50 times, but I put it through because, you know, it was an email. So.
Yeah. Well, we're content creators. Sometimes we do repetitive content. Next one's from this guy spelled it Wanye, Grolfine. Like, is that a weird way of spelling Wayne, or is the guy's name Wanye, or do you miss, I don't know. Subject is NWO 2000. Hey guys, I just finished listening to the episodes of Jeff Jarrett's podcast, My World. He did this awesome two-parter about the NWO 2000 angle. From the stuff he was saying as a member, it was just almost immediately a disaster backstage. It kept getting worse and worse until it got as bad as possible. Wrestling's being injured into retirement. So for guys, what are your memories of that time in the company? Was the general feeling there was a bad idea from the start? And Conan, was there any talk of them bringing you back into the faction, or was your heat with Nash still bad around that time? Show has been killing it lately, guys. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, my heat with Nash was very bad at that time.
Right. And plus two, it's like, our show wasn't as bad. Like, if you go back and watch these shows, they're not as bad as they were at the time. The problem at the time is that they're Raw, you know, WWE was just kicking our ass. Their show was just way better. You know, so like by measure, our show looked terrible compared to theirs, because they had like Austin and Rock doing great stuff, these huge pops and Angle. And
DX.
You know, DX is just, just by comparison, our show sucked. But if you go back and watch some of these shows, they're not like, they're more busy than today's shows. Like, there's still some entertaining. You still had entertaining guys there that would still do some very entertaining backstage vignettes. That's one thing WCW, like, our angles kind of got weird, but the level of entertainment that of entertainers that we had, it's like, bro, like perfect example. Like what was the last time you saw? We saw a good backstage vignette in AEW. These get this is they're not interesting. The guys just told me, I'm gonna beat you. My record's this, you know. And it's like we would do funny stuff backstage because they give us a lot of freedom to like do funny stuff, but like a lot of guys were still entertaining. And you can go back and still find some good, you know, good TV segments. You know, so I don't know. Next is from The Great Greatness, and the subject is Tony Don't Care or Doesn't Care. No. Recently, AEW's had a really horrible run of injuries with wrestlers such as Punk, Danielson, Cole, Omega, Santana, and numerous others. The majority of these injuries have come from wrestlers working gimmick matches. So to show that he's completely unaware of the real world, Tony continues to book wrestlers into gimmick matches. Konnan and Disco, how do you think this will affect the AEW locker room? Tony Khan has never taken a bump, not in the ring anyway, I've heard stories, in his life, yet he's having the wrestlers get hurt for real simply because he needs gimmick matches to pop a rating. Is this the kind of stuff that could really lower backstage locker room morale? Not that Sean Ross Sapp would ever report it. That guy keeps a flask of Tony Khan's piss on him for a sip at all times.
You know what?
I've got an interesting story that somebody, that a little birdie, told me about Tony Khan and Sean Ross Sapp. I a bunch of people that have these guys, phone numbers. Maybe you can look this up. But I guess there's this encryption messaging app called Signal, where you can, like, you know how, like, this we have WhatsApp, Telegram, yeah. Like, all these messaging apps. There's an app called Signal, right? Supposedly they joined Signal at, like, the same time, like Tony and Sean Ross Sapp did. So I wonder if they have, like, a line of communication like those two, because Sapp is, I mean, he's even worse than Meltzer. He's like a completely pro AEW guy.
But dude, they're not treating government secrets. It's just wrestling. Why do they have to join a special app?
I'm just telling you a story that was related to me, and they might not even be related.
I'm just saying.
But just that these two guys. First of all, too, bro, Tony Khan is not making those guys do any of those spots.
No, not at all.
All those spots, all the injuries are self-inflicted. The guys are willingly doing the spots themselves. But I will say this. I think Tony does look at some of the numbers he draws when there's blood on the show, and he does kind of like, but it seems like he's been booking some blood because, like, for some, the blood is kind of like an attraction. But, you know, we can have this discussion. It might draw you numbers, but overall, is that going to turn off potential like TV deals and stuff?
Well,
you know?
What's the big match announced?
What is it?
Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston in a barbed wire death match.
Oh, for God's sake. Is Chris really? He's doing a barbed wire death match with this guy?
Yep.
What do you think about that, Conan? What do you think about Jericho bleeding a lot these days?
He sees the numbers too,
and he's old school. So he, you know, I'm a big proponent of blood. So you're talking to the wrong person.
Right. Yeah, but blood never left the culture in Mexico.
Right.
Like we went 20 years of wrestling television where it's just like, because Vince was the only show in town, he just didn't do blood. And the other organizations followed. Tony came along. It's like, hey, let's bleed. And it's like, all right, you know, okay. But it's kind of weird because a lot of the angles on the show are kind of, you know, centered around comedy. And the next thing you know, these guys are, you know, bleeding all over each other.
I just think there's too much blood, and that's the problem.
Exactly. That's a good point. Remember when they had the, like the perfect example, didn't they have like a bunkhouse match one time with Butcher and Blade against Dustin Rhodes?
QT was in it. It was QT and somebody else, yeah.
Right, you go like, why are they wasting blood? Why are these guys doing a bloody match, right? You know, it's like, yeah, you're right. It is overdone.
You know what's interesting when you think about the hypocrisy of the internet fans is that when Hogan and Bischoff came into TNA and they brought blood and chair shots back, everyone was like, oh, it's archaic. These guys, this is disgusting. What are they doing? But they don't say the same thing about AEW, do they? They praise it. That's just your internet fan.
Next is from Lyle Luquette. The subject is question for Disco and Conan about famous people backstage. Good afternoon, guys. Just want to tell you that I love the show. Questions for Conan and Glenn. When you wrestled full-time, who's the biggest celebrity that you met backstage? Were there any celebrities that you were struck by? Are there any famous people who's asked to meet you during your WCW run? And finally, what's the most amount of money that you've seen someone drop at the strip club? And F that heat in Vegas. That's a good point about the heat in Vegas. I can't give you an amount. I've never seen him. Oh, Floyd Mayweather at our club drops ridiculous amounts of money. He throws money all over the place. He comes with $100,000 sometimes. I'll be honest, because we would always hang out with him. I wasn't so much starstruck by him, but the coolest celebrity was Chuck Zito, by far. He would take us out afterwards. We'd go to the strip, you know, just go easy. He was just a super cool guy. And honestly, even he was friends with Conan, but at the time, the biggest celebrity I thought I met was Alex Rodriguez. when he came with you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Who would you say?
I don't know. There's so many that we've met, you know.
Barkley was always cool, you know, yeah.
Clemens.
Right.
When he came to Houston, Dennis Miller, Method Man.
Yeah. My biggest one was Alex Rodriguez. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were friends with him, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's an interesting question. Cause like who do we used to mark out for? Basically was the question. Next is from Andrew Shum, and the subject is Kendrick Lamar. Yo, Conan, I just want to know what you think of Kendrick Lamar's album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I thought it was the best album I've listened to in years, modern day gospel. And also, if you got any albums you recommend, please tell us. P.S. Hey, Disco, I feel you about the Kmart divas and wrestlers need to dress up more, but it's hard to take you seriously when you looked like a Scooby-Doo villain your entire career. All right, we're going to suspend this guy. Andrew Shum is this guy's name?
Yeah.
Make sure he's suspended for a week for calling me a Scooby-Doo villain. That's an insult. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I don't know Kendrick Lamar's music. Cody, this is for you.
Yeah, I haven't listened to his whole album. I don't listen to whole albums anymore because nobody really makes good whole albums. So,
right.
Kanye is the last one that I heard.
Next is from Chris Gonzalez. Subject question. What do you think of Christian Cage promo on Matt Hardy in AEW? Do you believe Christian Cage is the best heel in AEW right now? I mean, they finally let the guy be a heel and talk. You know, when he's a baby, this just shows how miscast he was as a babyface this whole time. You know, I mean, his promos have been entertaining.
And the great thing, he's old school. He ain't afraid to get heat.
Right, right. Yeah, he's like me. He knows he's out there saying stuff that he knows people are going to say, oh, did he go too far? That's offensive.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But he didn't give a he doesn't care because they're letting him do it.
Well, that's the premise of the heel program. Like,
right. He's doing if they're going to let me talk like that, I'm just going to keep talking like that until they tell me I can't talk like that anymore. Why not? He's getting heat, right?
Right.
Yeah. Next is from KB. And the subject is non-wrestler question. Hey, guys. Listener since 2016. I was wondering what your favorite Metallica song is. Enter Sandman is my favorite Metallica song by far. What about you?
Yeah, I like all their shit, but probably that one.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just cool when Virginia Tech, the Hokies, play that before the games and the crowd's all jumping up and down. Tuning in. That was pretty
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Next is from Hungus Wood. Subject is tremendous. This is his subject. Tremendous question right here. So get ready to kazoo this. All right.
Oh,
he's already putting over his question before we even read it. Yo, what it do?
Oh.
Hungus Wood here, and I'm up to no good. Just get the kazoo. Okay. Hungus Wood here, and I'm up to no good. How's it going, Conan? JoJo, the underrated, and he puts in capital letters, superstar.
That's nice.
And the Jabroni Inferno.
Uh-oh.
Okay, suspend this guy for a week. I hope you guys are feeling good and having a good time. My question is, if social media was around when you were a kid, who will you follow and who will own social media back then? So this guy says tremendous question right here, and he's a grammatically incorrect he's grammatically incorrect last sentence. Oh my god, we're gonna give him a 2-week suspension. Because here's, you want to hear his PS, Conan?
What?
PS, Raven is funny and he's a good singer.
Yeah.
Singer,
very good singer.
Yeah, you can't do enough of kazoos for this question. If social media around when I was, I don't know, I would have followed probably the musicians and the wrestlers and the athletes like I do now. The comedians and stuff. That's, you know.
Yeah, so
I would not have followed the politicians.
Imagine
and the political commentators and stuff. When I was a kid, I would have followed athletes, wrestlers, artists. Athletes, wrestlers, musicians, and actors.
You said comedians.
That's what.
Think about George Carlin and Richard Pryor on social media. You know.
Oh yeah, what great Twitters they would have had, huh? How about you, Conan? Same thing, just like, yeah, that's a weird question. When we were kids, he says. But he's got 2-week suspension, that guy. He got suspended 2 weeks for 2 separate infractions in 1 email that he said he called a tremendous email.
What were the infractions?
Should we ban the guy from the mailbag? To make a statement? Like, the people trying to do that will just get banned forever from the mailbag? No, I'll just give the guy 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Subject is Alexis Figueroa, and the subject is Eddie Kingston. Hey, guys, want to point out how Eddie Kingston, for that matter, Adam Cole, spends zero time in the gym.
Come on.
You'll be a good talker, but don't that put you in the category of a manager? Anyway, anyhow, my question is, do you guys think the AEW Out of Shape guys give their fans the hope or believe they can get in there and wrestle themselves? Keep up the good work, Joe. You're cool. Ooh. Disco, you're always over with me. And Conan, you're more over with me after the guitar shot to Stacy Cologne.
Hmm.
And it's VR awesome. Sergeant Major Figueroa. So he's a military guy. And it puts P.S.
Sergeant Major Figueroa is suffering from PTSD. If in any way, shape, or form, he thinks Joe Feeney the Third is cool.
Right. And P.S. Eddie Kingston is in worse shape than Dick Murdoch. Eddie, bro, let me tell you.
I wouldn't go that far, but he's not in good shape.
He's not in good shape. And this is the weirdest thing. It's like, there's people that are, the fans are actually using the term body shaming now. When they talk about this stuff.
That's weak.
Like, oh, your body. I was like, dude, I go, we're professional wrestlers. You stay in shape when you're a professional wrestler. This is not body shaming to tell somebody he needs to get in shape because he'd be more over if he was in shape. That's not body shaming.
Bro, it's incredible to me. Like, you see so many girls now, they'll be wearing like crop tops and shit with their gut hanging out. And I'm like, when did this become cool?
Right.
You know that, oh, yeah, I'm fat and I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Right.
Bro. Maybe
there's like this people have like got this community of like ugly people, and they just don't. They're tired of being called ugly, and they're tired of being called. You know, they don't want to put, but they don't want to put in the work to get in shape. You know, so and they don't have any. You know, they're young. Like older people suffering thing that are out of shape. So you can understand if their body's been beat up. They've had they've had problems. But like young people not being in shape is like, to me, that's kind of inexcusable unless you've got. Like a good reason not to be in better shape, you know? So, bro, even Madden, like he was enormous for a while, right? Bro, he works out like every day. He rides, he goes on the step match. Like the guy puts in effort. You know what I'm saying? It's funny, like the people, like you have these people that talk about body shaming. They're like people that don't want to put in any effort and will instead attack the people telling them they need to get in shape by calling them body shamers. And like that's bad. For doing that, you know, and it's like it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird how that's got a lot of traction in society these days too. You know, have you noticed that?
Just weird. Yeah.
Next is from Sean Richard, and the subject is Mailbag RVD in 2022. Hey guys, love the show, long time listener. Chelsea, RVD did a NOAH DDT wrestling show Cyber Festival 2022 in Japan recently.
No.
Okay, the first sentence, Sean Richard. Okay, I don't follow wrestling enough there was no way I would know that, nor would I care. Okay, what's your opinion on DDT Pro Wrestling and NOAH Wrestling? I don't care. I was wondering if any of y'all heard of this match or saw it. We didn't, or heard the comeback he's making. There was rumors of another WWE run or possibly AEW run. Do you guys have an opinion on him coming back? Thanks, Sean Richard from New Orleans, Louisiana. P.S. Here's two clips from his match and press release. And he gives us his
match. What's his agent?
Pro. I don't know. Maybe he is. But, like, bro, when RVD gets back on TV in the United States, he was doing some funny shit with that Katie Forbes girl in Impact.
Oh, he was real good.
And that was some funny. That was very entertaining stuff. You know? So, I mean, if he comes back and does stuff like that, I'm all in because I watched all that stuff. That was great. What do you think, Conan?
Yeah, well, he's RVD. He's a unique wrestler. But he's like 50 now, and he was pretty beat up in TNA. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, he'd either have to be doing six mans or doing just vignettes. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
I think if anything, maybe he'll just pop out for a Royal Rumble or something as a surprise. You know, but I haven't heard anything about a comeback. I haven't heard. Have you heard any of those rumors? I haven't heard them.
This is an interesting question. Jared Avia's got another question. Bro, he's double dipping on questions. So suspend him a week. He knows the rules, right? Oh, this guy's ridiculous. And he submitted this one on
so
July
8th. So does Joe, and Joe lets him go through.
Well, I let them go through because we fill the mailbag for the Patreon people, and they're paying for it. But these guys need to know the
rules. I want
to
get a little heat on Joe, though.
Yeah. So his question is, Robert Roode underutilized?
Wait a minute. I want to give extra heat to Jared here, though, because I just looked. I was trying to think maybe he sent them in a week's difference, like he didn't get the days and the times wrong. He sent those two on the same day. That's extra suspension right there.
Yeah, 2 week suspension. Hey, K100 fam. I hope everyone's doing well. See, this is more insincerity from Jared Aviat, because if you go in the chats and stuff and everything, it doesn't sound like he's hoping everyone's doing well. He's kind of like burying me a little bit, you know. So, Just want to ask your thoughts about one of my favorite wrestlers in the business, Robert Roode. He reminds me of Arn Anderson in the ring. He has a great look, has a serious persona, is believable in the ring, and can talk, but yet he's hardly featured in WWE programming nowadays. Does the crew think that Bobby Roode is underutilized right now in WWE? Also, does the crew think that Roode can once again become a main event player for the company, seen as he was one in NXT? Thank you, all the best, Jared. I will say this, though. He is kind of underutilized, but that's the one thing that's great about WWE, and this is what they'll do, right? You know, Robert Roode is you know, him and Dolph are sporadically on TV, right? But they just won't bring him on TV for like one match, and then you don't see him again. They'll put him in a couple angles, and they'll be on TV for like 7-8 weeks, and then you won't really see him for a couple months and stuff. But like they don't just bring these guys back for like one match. You know, they'll bring him back and do an angle with somebody. So yeah, I mean, he is underutilized, but it's like when he does get used, it's not like in a bad role. You know, they'll do some angles with the tag teams they work against and stuff. Do you agree with that, Conan?
Yeah. Bro, he's always been underutilized, and he's kind of like Dean Malenko and many others, just underutilized.
And plus, too, he doesn't have that – he wrestles safe.
Yeah.
And that guy, and fans kind of like – this fan base kind of scoffs at that a little bit, you know. Next is from Timo Fam Tran, subject to cellular injuries. Hey guys, thanks for answering my question a few weeks ago about memorabilia collection. I again have a question for Disco and Conan. You guys might have seen the picture going around social media of Vince and Stephanie McMahon, Triple H, and Pat McAfee sitting together at UFC. Pat McAfee is wearing a neck brace to sell the attack from Baron Corbin at Money in the Bank, which I find hilarious, and also respect him for his investment in the storyline. Disco and Conan, during runs in WCW, did you guys ever have an injury in storyline? Would you even commit to it in public? Thanks again, Tino. If it was that night after the show and we're going to the bar, sometimes guys would sell. Like they sell because you knew a bunch of marks would be in the bar, and there were still some kind of like a lot of old school guys like Kevin Sullivan, Terry Taylor, stuff. You know, if you weren't selling for the marks right after the show, they would kind of like, you know, that was still looked down upon back then, like no selling. But so sometimes you would still kind of sell for the fans after the show if it was like a major injury. But nobody does that today. Nobody. Which is why it was great when I saw Pat McAfee do that on a major, you know, like he's on UFC selling with a neck brace on. You know, how great is that, right?
Yeah, remember when Don Callis did it through the Japanese airport after he took, I think Jericho hit him with the code breaker or something, and he had a neck brace in the wheelchair?
Let me give you a perfect example about how today I'm not a fan of, okay? Bro, they have these pay-per-views. And dude, like, as soon as the pay-per-view is over, you know, they'll do the media scrums, and like Jericho's in there talking about the spots. FTR's talking about spots they did and who came up with the spot and stuff. I'm absolutely not a fan of that. That's like, you know, what did you guys just do? It's like are you just performers and actors now, and like that's the way we're gonna treat it? Because like you're gonna have a hard time getting fans invested to you if you're not respecting the suspension disbelief at all. You know, like there's no respect given to the suspension disbelief in AEW. They just don't, they completely break kayfabe as soon as the show's over and have these media scrums. And I'm like, I don't know how that's good for business. I think you could actually point to that as one of the reasons that maybe it does contribute to the fact that they're not growing, that their numbers are kind of stabilized. Do you agree with that, Conan? Is that a possibility?
I just think it satisfies, you know, the fans, you know, appetite for more content, right? Mm-hmm. And they're probably monetizing it too. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of that either.
Right.
So yeah.
Like, what would you do if like who is your big like Blue Demon and Dr. Luther, right? Is that the guy's name, Dr. Luther?
Yep.
Or Dr. Who? Not Dr.
Luther. Dr. Wagner.
Dr. Wagner, okay? What would you do if, like, the big thing, you know, the big hang on everything that came back, and you guys did the interviews after the match, and Dr. Wagner was talking about how when he got the color, you know, like...
Yeah, but...
but what would the Mexican... Let me ask you a question. What would Mexican fans do if like, when Dr. Wagner and Blue Demon had their big blood feud and their big match, it was a triple mania, right? It was a big main event.
Yeah.
What would the fans do if they, after the match, they were talking about how they went over the spots and, you know, who came up with the idea for to do this? But what would the fans there do? Like, how would they react?
Yeah, they're not ready for that conversation.
Right. It's like, you just wouldn't even do it, right? Like this, yeah.
Right, because yeah. they kind of know, you know, it's almost like they're in along on the game with us. Like they know it's all contrived, but they don't want to really be told. You know, they're like, we don't want to know. You know,
it's you're respecting like, the suspension disbelief.
Thing. Right.
You're keeping it. You're keeping it real.
Right.
It's like when you don't keep it real, it's like, you know, then you get the bro. What it does is you get when you don't keep it real, you just get a bunch of people. You open it up for you know. You have the trolls are these days. A bunch of people saying, "Ah, you guys are fake shit," and everything. You give you're letting people go call you fake, and it's like you don't really want that when you're doing this. You know, it's like you want to kind of keep it real all the time. So yeah, I'm not a fan of that at all.
In Mexico, Conan, have you ever like worn a neck brace in public after or used crutches or something to sell an injury?
Yep.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah. You guys used to go on the news, right?
Yep.
Nice. Yeah. Like they put you on the mainstream news there. That's great. Like, imagine going on CNN after like you know, Jericho and Eddie Kingston are wrestling, and they're going on CNN afterwards and to cut promos on each other, right? Hey guys, thanks for answering. This is from Tino Fam Tram selling injuries. Oh no, that's wait. We just did this one. I didn't realize I didn't change it. Oh, here we go. Next, this is from Ben. The subject is Rob Feinstein. What's up, K100? Any opinions on Rob Feinstein and RF video signed by superstars? You know, obviously Rob Feinstein has a very checkered past, but I always got along with the guy, so I don't. Man, we've always been cool. So, what's an RF video? But the guy, he was like he did a lot of work. You know, he was one of like in a time before the internet came along. You know, this guy was like, you know, one of the top. If you needed videos of wrestlers, like you are a video.
And they innovated the shoot interview, you know.
Right, right. What's your opinion of Rob Feinstein, Conan?
Yeah, same thing. Great idea. He made a lot of money. What a shame. You know, he's been ostracized for that, and he always will be.
Right.
He's always been cool with me.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like an unofficial blackballing because he still runs huge conventions in Philly and even is behind wrestling shows now.
Yeah, but he's not the power broker he used to be.
Right.
Right. Because of his past with the, you know, I don't even really want to talk, but I think the reason he kind of got a pass over the years is because, bro, the guy never really, you know, treated anybody bad or just, you know, he was always cool. You know, so what? How can you really dislike a guy that's always treated you and people you know cool? You know, it's like whatever, right?
Yeah.
Next is some Robert Perry and the subject is franchise quarterback. Guys, with training camp starting at the end of the month, what quarterback would you take to start a franchise? We can even narrow it down to the AFC West quarterbacks. I'm going with Justin Herbert over Mahomes, Carr, and Wilson. What do y'all think? Friend of the show, Robert. Bro, if I'm starting a football team, I would absolutely say that Justin Herbert's the guy I would get. He's 6 foot. He's big. He's got a good arm. He's already a stud. He could run. He throws for 300-400 yards a game. It's like, I mean, he looks like a prototype quarterback. What do you think? Who would you start with, Tony?
Bro, you can't go wrong with either one, okay? Of course, I love Herbert. You know, he plays for the Chargers, which is my team. But I was reading this.
What about Burrow?
Huh?
What about Burrow?
I'd
say Herbert because Burrow's already got hurt.
I would pick Herbert over Burrow.
Because the bigger the guy is, the less you think you get hurt.
The other thing is, I was reading this the other day, and this in itself is quite an accomplishment. Besides the fact that Manning has been to the Super Bowl, I mean, Mahomes, there's only two players in NFL history that have like 4,000 yards in their first 4 years or some shit like that, and it's Peyton Manning and Patrick Mahomes, you know. And Mahomes got the Super Bowl ring, so I'd still go with Patrick.
All right. The next email is very disturbing, okay? So it's an angry email from a guy called Eddie Gonzalez. The subject is cancel get my Durbin'd. Hello. I will get straight to the point. Please never read another Durbin'd email or bring up get my you-know-what. Again, he puts in capital letters. Also, yes, Mr. Gilberti, you do say, quote, and stuff and everything, unquote, a lot. Yeah, but I'm just repeating what somebody said in the email, you dumbass. It is as common as your, quote, perfect example, unquote. Also, did you know that the hey there, man, that guy that says and stuff and everything, emails is a get my, he never spells out get my go, he put get my, and he has frowny faces reference. Now, this is the important part of this email. Feeney acts clueless about those things. Well, it is hard to know if he is acting clueless, since he seems clueless most of the time. P.S. Tell Feeny to start washing his hands after he uses the toilet. We all know Dirty Joe rubbed his eye with turd fingers. Thank you, longtime listener and Patreon member Eddie Gonzalez. Joe, is that accurate about your eye was because you don't wash your hands after you use the bathroom?
It's completely inaccurate, and he's making light of a very serious infection that could have caused me to lose my sight, and I find that very offensive.
Okay. But what's the thing? Why do you act clueless about the hey there man and stuff and everything guy? Do you know who that is? And
I don't know who that is. I know that there's a joke on Get My Go because the guy always said, hey there, man, but I have no idea who.
First of all, I like what this guy does. He says, get my, and he doesn't say the last
dot,
word.
Dot, dot.
I prefer that we do that here on this show. Get my,
you know what?
Well, it's called the get my,
I
you know what.
I prefer we don't even say any of those words. I prefer we don't talk about it. It's a stupid show with idiots on it, including our co-host. And it's fucking ridiculous. You listened to it. You told us it was terrible. Joe tries to put it over because, you know, he's got to have something to gloat about. Oh, we got a show which is not that good. It's not that listened to. But, you know, it's five guys putting themselves over and thinking they're funnier than they really are. So, yeah, I would say that any mention of that show on this show should be prohibited.
That's just going to drive viewers to the show.
Then go ahead. Then if that's what's if people are going to go, if they're going to go out of their way to listen to a bad show.
You're not allowed to say go.
In spite of me.
Not allowed to say go. Actually, let's not even say the word. Let's just ban the words get, ban the word mine, get, ban the word go from now on. Could we agree on that?
Yes.
It's horrible.
And hopefully Joe and Feeny.
The subject is Joseph Matara Eliano, and the subject is mailbag. Hey, K100 crew, my question is for Conan. Historically, I've never been a fan of Lucha Libre, mainly because of the language barrier. I love commentary and rely on it to catch me up on a product. That being said, I love the English commentary team AAA has rolled out. Whose idea was the English commentary team? That's from Joe Matara Eliano.
Bro, if you listen
maybe,
to
maybe
our
show. Maybe his phone number here. Does this guy want us to call him? The guy left his phone number. Should I say his phone
Joe,
number?
Joe should call him.
Yeah, Joe should call him. Text him, Joe. Hey, what's up, Joseph?
Put your cell phone. Yeah,
right. Hey, here's my Amazon wish list.
Who is, wait, first of all, I thought that Vamp was English commentary. He was terrible.
He was. That's why he's no longer doing it.
So who do they have now?
This guy called Larry Dallas and another guy called Joe Dombrowski.
Oh, yeah. Joe Dombrowski's doing it?
Yeah.
Nice. I know Joe Dombrowski.
Yeah,
that's interesting. And the other guy, so they're getting good reviews. Is this the first good review you've heard from them, or are they getting good reviews?
No, they've been doing a couple shows now, bro. It took me years and years to convince the company. Hey, you're doing a huge disservice putting guys on that don't know what the fuck they're talking about, and we were getting destroyed until finally, you know, they were like, "Well, find them yourself." And I did.
Like perfect example. Like we never listened to the Spanish broadcast of WWE, right? But if you're working for WWE and you don't speak Spanish and you're hearing a lot of negative things about the Spanish commentary team, you'd probably want to maybe change it up a little bit.
But I don't think they were reading American news. That was a problem. They were just like in their own bubble and reading Mexican shit. And our Mexican commentators are great. We had to change the old ones too because they were fucking terrible.
Right.
But the guys we got now are great. Hugo Sabinovich and this guy called Guillen. And
conspiracy theorist Hugo Savinovich, by the way. He's always got conspiracy theories. Yeah.
And so then the English had an array of people from Balloonhead Kevin Gill to Vampiro, the fucking...
it's like not only did you scrape the bottom of the barrel for commentary, you actually lifted the barrel up and got under the barrel.
Right.
But he wasn't hired. He wasn't hired like by you or with your consent, right, Conan? Wasn't he hired by the network or something? KG?
Bro, somebody posted
a
video.
I think you already know the answer to that. Why would you ask that?
So in one of our YouTube clips, somebody on there was like trying to bury Conan, okay? And he had a whole montage of Vamp's commentary and how unprofessional it was. And I was like, why would this bury Conan? But Conan probably didn't know this idiot was doing this. Conan, have you seen the videos, like these compilation videos from the AAA of what Vamp was? But Joe, you got to try and find this. We need to put this on Patreon. We should put it on Patreon.
We watched it
because
years
Vamp
ago,
is so unprofessional. Yeah. Like during that, it was unbelievable. I watched this clip and go, I'm going to Billy Dunn and go, what the F is this guy doing? It's like, you know, it was ridiculous. He just started having conversations with people, like off the, you know, he would get up and like it was like completely It's like a, when you take your dog and you have it on the leash and you just unleash your dog and it's just running all over the yard, pissing all over the place.
Bro, can you imagine as an announcer, a wrestler does a dive or something, right? And the announcer runs over to see how he's doing. What a way to like bring attention to yourself.
Right. What were some other funny things he did on that show? Because this is actually fun. It's hysterical watching.
Just act, not be informed, and it wasn't funny. That's just it. Melting down on the air. Where's my fucking music?
Yeah.
Right.
Play my fucking music. Motherfucker, do you not think people can hear you? You're on live.
Right.
You know, he'd always be telling Hugo Savinovich, tell your sister I said hello. Tell your sister I'll be there later on. Why is this subject matter on the air, Vamp?
And it's on a wait. So this is on the Super Bowl broadcast. It's Triple Mania.
Yeah, exactly.
it's like this is WrestleMania. The guy's just going into business for himself completely.
Did you want to watch this clip?
No, just put it on Patreon because it's, how long is it?
52 seconds. It's just him yelling about the music, though. We have
seen play that spot. Yeah, this give you the thing how unprofessional this was.
I need my music right now. Come on, man. And Hero calling for his music because it's the music that will get these fans behind Vampiro for them to understand what's going on here. And all the production aside, Vamp, where's the fucking music? At this point in the trip, I don't know if he needs your music. You're being called out.
Wait a minute. Time out. So this idiot, the spot is you're calling him out at the announcer's table. So it's kind of like a shoot, right? This guy wanted them to play his music instead of just confronting you when you're calling. Like, bro, you get your music playing when you come out the entrance ramp. Like, he's yelling in the thing to play. Oh, my God. Bro, I'm sorry. I think that's funny. I mean, because it's so unprofessional, it's funny. That's why. Next is from Nick Dougal, and the subject is Roundtable in Sports. Hey, guys. Curious if you guys will ever do a weekly roundtable on the major sports in the future, NBA, NFL, EPL, et cetera. Big fan of the sports talk. P.S. Mike Durbin is a fluff boy.
Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
That's true.
He came out of nowhere.
Me and Billy and Conan talk sports. Fans want to do a roundtable with us on sports? Bro, like I said, we will do roundtables with Patreon members on any subject you want. Any subject you want.
I've said
weekly, no. Weekly needs – me and Conan will discuss sports every week, and we usually talk with Billy about sports every week, and things – we'll always talk about UFC. We'll always talk about the playoffs. If something happens in sports, like during the week, it's interesting, we'll talk about that. But it's like weekly, we're not – doing weekly sports on this show. We're not ESPN.
I was going to suggest a weekly NFL preview that we could then release on the free feed as another show. But I mean, you know, it's up to you guys, obviously.
Yeah, but the thing is,
because you do an NFL segment every week during football season, DI.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, all right, that's for the mailbag.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Boom.